visiting with us, and hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity. I wanted to clarify one thing, or maybe two. If you ladies will look in the bulletin, the ladies' Bible class will resume this coming Wednesday at 10:30. This will be the week that you work with World Bible School. Then it has a listing of some of the other studies that we'll be following. Also, I wanted to make note of the fact that the food at Summit Heights, Summit Heights is merely a distribution place. That food is being donated by John Soul's Foods. And if you've ever eaten any of John Soul's chicken or beef, you know it's very good. And we're very thankful for them doing that. And I know one of these days I'm going to have to tell you about my experience when I first met John Soul's. He's a very interesting character, but not today. It's not working? Okay. Our technicians are working on our PowerPoint. It is one that I really wanted to use today, but we may not be able to. We'll see how this goes. I decided back in December that I would preach one sermon a month on some basics of Christianity. And I've done that so far twice. This will be the third time that I've done this. And what I'm doing today is the conversion examples from the book of Acts. I had a chart that would go with that, and hopefully they'll get us going here in a few moments. But for right now, we're going to just look at the first example that we have of conversion in the book of Acts. If you would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 36. I know that all of you are familiar with this, but certainly we want to review this, how that Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. There were many, many people who were listening to him. He was convincing them, or trying to convince them, that Jesus was the Christ, that he was, there we go, all right, there we go, thank you. Okay, all right, this first slide shows you an artist's depiction of what it might have been like to have baptized 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. As you can imagine, that must have been quite a sight to behold. And so there was this pool in Jerusalem, and possibly something like this did occur. Next slide. We also have a picture of an early baptistry. And you can see how that it is actually made in the form of a cross. And to the side, to the left side there, it has a place, I'm presuming, for the one who was doing the baptizing, so that he would be there to baptize the person in that cross. And we have another picture of that as well. Here's another picture of a baptistry, also in the form of a cross, with a place for the one baptizing as well. Okay, then let's go on to the next one. All right. Now here we are at Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Peter is declaring to these people that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he was resurrected from the dead by God. And then we see in verse 36, Peter says, "Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added about 3,000 souls. Isn't it wonderful to think about all of these people? And there must have been many, many more than 3,000 who were there. But 3,000 of these people responded to Peter's preaching. They were asking, what should we do? And obviously they were asking, what shall we do to be saved? How do we correct our relationship here with God? And Peter told them very plainly, next slide please. He said, repent. Back up. There should be one back, I think. There you go. It was one more. One more. There we are. All right. Okay, we got off somehow on that one. Okay. Anyway, and this chart is showing that in Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 41, the text tells us that the people heard, that they repented of their sins, and they were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Yeah, there we go. Okay. We're going to get this straight yet. All right. That's not to presume that in that chart that there wasn't confessing, that there wasn't repentance, but that's all that we are told about in Scripture. But you will notice in every one of these examples of conversion in the book of Acts, every time baptism is pointed out. People were baptized, of course, into Jesus Christ. Then we look at Acts chapter 8, verses 12 through 13. And, back there we go. All right. In verse 12 it says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Philip was one of those who was in the city of Jerusalem. And then when Saul came persecuting the Christians, he decided to go to Samaria. And in Samaria, he was preaching the gospel to these people. And certainly they were baptized into Christ. Even Simon the sorcerer was baptized into Christ. Go on with the next chart. All right. So we see in Samaria in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 13, they heard in verse 12, they believed in verse 12, and they were baptized in verses 12 through 13. Okay, next, please. All right, and then we get the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, as we normally call this story. The eunuch was a man who was of great stature in the Ethiopian court office, court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in verse 27. So here was Philip. He was in Samaria. He was being very successful. But Peter and John came to Samaria, and then Philip was told by an angel of God to go on this deserted road in Gaza, and there he would find a certain person in a chariot, and he was to teach him the gospel, and that's exactly what happened. He went there, and this man was reading from the book of Isaiah, from Isaiah chapter 53. And then we learn the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Well, how did he know that he was to be baptized in water? Well, he knew because undoubtedly Philip had told him. And they go down into the water. And they come up out of the water. Well, certainly it was more than just a sprinkling. It was a full baptism, a full immersion in the water. Well, certainly we see in this example as well how that Jesus is preached. And part of the preaching of Jesus is that one is to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Okay. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Then they came up out of the water. Notice again on our chart. Scripture says in chapter 8, verse 26 through 40, they heard, they believed, even though in verse 37, as you'll see in many of your Bibles, if not all of them, there's a bracket beside verse 37, meaning that that particular verse is not found in the earliest manuscripts, but it must have been something that a scribe inserted into the manuscript. It must have been something that they were accustomed to in that particular time. But then again, it shows that he was baptized in verses 38 and 39. Okay, now we go to chapter 9. In verses 17 and 18, and this is the very conversion of Saul, or Paul as he later came to be known. You can read about his conversion in chapter 9, also in verse chapter 22, and in chapter 26 of the book of Acts. But I'm concentrating here on 9 and 22. "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized." And then in Acts 22, verse 10, also conversion of Saul, "I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Get up and go on into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do." It was not something that he could do or choose not to do, but it was something that if he wanted to be saved, he was to do those things. He said, Ananias said, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name." There are a number of people who in the denominational world say that all that one has to do is to call on the name of Jesus in order to be saved. Well, that's certainly part of the salvation, but as we'll see here in a moment, there is more to that. So we have Saul in Acts 9 and also in 22. He heard, he also was baptized, chapter 9, verse 18 and 22, 16. Okay, next one. Then we're going to look at Acts chapter 10, verses 33, and also in verse 43. "So I sent you immediately, and you've been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message." Okay. "And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. And then Peter answered, Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who've received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? and he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You might recall that Cornelius had had this vision at his home in Caesarea. A day later, Peter had a vision signifying to him that people of all races, all nations, were to be acceptable to God. And that is why we can read in those chapters that Peter even accepted Cornelius's men, his ambassadors, accepted them into his home, which was just totally unheard of in that day for a Jew to allow a Gentile to spend the night with him. They go back from Joppa to Caesarea, and when they go back, of course, Peter speaks the gospel, preaches the gospel to them, and this miraculous event occurred. Peter knew then that this was God's will, that not only Jews but Gentiles be saved in like manner. Okay, so we see Cornelius in chapter 10. He heard and he believed and he was baptized. All right, and next we look at Acts chapter 16, where we're going to have two events there. In Acts chapter 16, verses 14 through 15, really a very short description of what happened. Paul was there. He went to Philippi. Interestingly, he had been in Corinth. And undoubtedly, he took the land route all the way back to Ephesus, which was a long, long way. And I was thinking about this as I was reading it earlier. I thought, well, every time that Paul went into a city, he preached. And so think of all the things that must have occurred when Paul left Corinth and started going through these cities again and going all the way back to Ephesus. And yet the Holy Spirit did not see that we needed to have those recorded for us. We have all that we need here. But I'm certain that he preached in other cities besides just going to Ephesus. There he learned that there were some women who were meeting beside the river, and a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Very interesting that here's Lydia, this very wealthy woman, had come here, and she was selling her wares there undoubtedly in Philippi. And the Lord opened her heart. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of teaching someone and then later seeing that person being baptized into Christ. But if you have, there's a point in time that person, you can see it in their eyes, that a light has come on. And they understand what it is that they must do in order to be saved. And I think certainly this is somewhat of the description of Lydia, that the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And certainly she and her household, and we don't know who all was in her household, but her household undoubtedly consisted of people who were old enough to hear and to believe and to repent and be baptized, as all of them were baptized. And then we learn later in that chapter that Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. Go ahead with the next one. And when they were thrown into prison, they were actually, and the terminology there is throw, they were met with exceeding force. They were thrown into the inner stocks. They were imprisoned there. They were chained there. They did not want them to get away. And then an earthquake occurs. And when that earthquake occurs, the doors of the prison are open. The chains even fall off. And there was the possibility that all the prisoners could leave, and yet none of them left. And the one who was guarding the prisoners, he was about to kill himself, because if someone had escaped under Roman law, they were to either be killed or to kill themselves. And so he was ready to kill himself, and Paul cried out, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And then beginning in verse 31, they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus." This would be the household of those who were the guard of the prisoners. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his household. So put that back for just a moment, please, to the previous one. All right. Notice when he says in verse 31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus." There are many people in the religious world today that say, "Well, all you have to do is believe and you're saved. It says so right here." It does say so. But that very hour of the night, there was an immediacy that went with this order that they were to be baptized into Jesus Christ. They weren't waiting for another Sunday. They weren't waiting a month down the road, but immediately they were baptized into Christ, he and all of his household. Now listen to verse 34. He brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. So what does believe in verse 31 encompass? And undoubtedly includes baptism, because it says in verse 34, after they had been baptized, that they had believed in God with the whole household. So I think that's a good verse to remember for us. Okay, next one, please. Thank you. So the jailer then, he heard, he believed, and again, he was baptized. Okay, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 18, beginning verse 7 and 8. This is one of the interesting conversion examples, very interesting, because he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. There again, we have the tie-in of them believing and being baptized. The amazing thing is that Crispus was the leader of the synagogue. What do you think happened to Crispus after this? Well, the text doesn't tell us, but you can be assured that he was no longer the leader of the synagogue after he was baptized into Jesus Christ. So again, on our chart, we see that in chapter 18, the Corinthians heard, believed, and was baptized. And then we're going to go to chapter 19 in the book of Acts, in verses 1 through 3. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They began speaking with tongues and prophesying, and they were in all about 12 men. So here were 12 men who were John's disciples, who had been baptized into John's baptism. Now understand that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for those who were Jews. It was not related to salvation per se. Well, one verse says that it was for the remission of sins, but it was primarily for those who were Jews and who were believers. Well, and then Paul comes along here at Ephesus and he says, have you been baptized and received the Holy Spirit when you believe? And they said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know from Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and other verses that when you're baptized into Christ, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when they were baptized, they received the gift of the Spirit, and then they had the gift of speaking in tongues, and they were able to do that because of the laying on of apostles' hand, and they were able to speak in tongues. So there were two different kinds of gifts from the Holy Spirit. There was the gift that we receive when we're baptized, and there was the spiritual gift that some people received when the apostles laid their hands on them. And that was the only way that those spiritual gifts could be received. So we look again at John's disciples. So let me point out one other thing. This shows me there's some people that say, well, I've been baptized before. And you quiz them and say, well, were you baptized for the forgiveness of sins? And they would say, sometimes they'll say yes, sometimes no. But this tells us that if one is baptized and it's not for the right reason, not for the forgiveness of sins, not to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, then they need to be baptized again. There really is only one baptism, the baptism that is taught in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And so if they have not been baptized according to that, they need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Okay. This last little chart, I don't remember where I even found it. It's not the greatest of charts, but it does show you something. Everything that the Lord told us to do, that I showed you in those charts, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. The people undoubtedly did those things. We're not told specifically in every verse that we looked at, except for baptism. Everyone who was converted was baptized into Christ. But notice, you can't be baptized into Christ correctly unless you do believe, unless you are willing to repent, unless you do confess, and then you are baptized into Christ, who is our Savior, the Savior of the body, the Savior of us as individuals. All of these things are part of the conversion process. You cannot eliminate any of them. So it's so important that we understand what the process is in order to get into Christ and to be saved from our sins. If there is anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus, we hope that you will do that today, not put it off any longer. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, whatever your need is, we ask you to come while we stand in